People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we're back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 3. I should have this up. I actually don't know what episode of Season... Actually, Season 4. Season 4, Episode 2. Jackson's the Pain was the first episode for Season 4. Justin Mazzulla capped it off at 100, so Episode 102 overall. Crazy to see that. The 22nd episode overall of Cam's Corner. Season 1, Episode 22 was Paige Messier.
Thank you.
So, I didn't know Paige back then. I was still at Rhode Island College back in Providence. Transfer junior year, and that's when me and Paige kind of kindled a relationship and started to, I guess, like, call games. We were in the same kind of field and everything like that. So Paige right now is currently a digital video producer at Channel 12 in East Providence, Rhode Island. We're going to get into a bunch of things. Paige has a lot of different, I guess, titles right now. A lot of things are going on for you, Paige.
Yeah,
so,
busy life.
So right now, I mean, the most current thing we'll get into before we introduce you, I guess, what's going on? How you been?
I've been doing good, just trying to figure things out like you are as well. But life is good, and this industry is cool, so
everything happens super, super fast.
So fast.
It's just like boom, 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 and that's like how, I feel like that's how, not that you portray what it, how it is, but it's just that's how you have to be if you want to stay on the top of everything that you're doing. So, well, I guess first things first, I mean, you can tell by the shirts. Finals, I don't know if you can see from there, but Celtics just won the NBA championship last night.
Perfect. I feel honored that I'm talking. I don't know when this is going to come out, but this it just happened. I'm in Johnston. I just feel like it's like the perfect place to be. Joe Mazzulla from Boston, from Johnston. I just wrote about it at work today, and then I came here. So it's a full day of Celtics. I'm very excited.
So when you got off the exit and you're pulling into Johnston, did you feel part of the championship?
I got a little tingle. I was like, ooh, I feel like I'm in the right place right now. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But an insane, just overall whole season for the Celtics. I love Joe Mazzulla's story because I think that all of us can relate to it, especially in Rhode Island. There's not that many like big figures that come from Rhode Island because it's so small. And I just feel like what he has done is kind of giving us some hope of, like, if he can do it. I just wrote a story about it. His only head coaching experience was at D2 level and then went right to the Celtics. Obviously, there was some situations that went on for him to get there. And then he is a champion 2 years later. Like, right. It's an insane story, and he's from where we're from. So it's just so inspiring and so cool. And, like, we all have connection to him. Like, we went to school with his brother, Justin, and it's just so cool to have a Rhode Island tie be on the national level like that.
Yeah, and Dan, of course, Dan, you know, Dan was my coach, like, growing up. Justin, he came in a few AAU practices before, and, like, he was always, like, a kind of like a big brother in a way. Like, we'd always look up to him and see the way that he held himself at such a young age, because he's only, I think,
he's young,
like, 4 years older than us, maybe.
Yeah. Because
he was at the graduate level when we were there, our junior years, and then, of course, the promotion with Utah and all that, but... you know, the Mazzulla name is always in the midst of the NBA, which I think is insane. And to see Joe on TV and to see, like, the run, like, no, I mean, it didn't feel real until it happened, you know, because, Joe's going to win a championship. Like, the Celtics are the best team in the NBA. And, like, any kind of fan from an outsider view can see that. But when you're in Rhode Island and you're in the midst of it, especially for you, like, at Channel 12, being able to write stories on it and be a part of it in, like, any way possible is, I mean, for me, trying to still break into that is still surreal to see. So hopefully one day, like, wherever I'm at, there can be a hometown hero type of story, because those are the best stories.
They're the it's just so fun. It must be so cool for you, too, just because you're so intertwined with the family. And I knew that his father was your coach, and that's just so cool just to see, I mean, them start from where you were. Like, where'd you go to high school?
Johnston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. So, like, for them to, like – it's homegrown, and for them to get there, it's like, wow, maybe I can do it too. So it's pretty cool.
For sure. And we'll definitely get into all the stories that you cover at Channel 12. But most recently, Miss Rhode Island USA, you were a participant in that.
I did.
Second runner-up, or how does that
work? Second runner-up.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Everyone was like, you got second place. And I was like, not quite.
So that was so that's third, right?
I got third place.
Okay.
It's easier to say third, but I don't know. In the pageant world, maybe they say
it's different.
I'm still new to it. I don't really know. But I got second runner-up. It was so cool. And the reason that I did it, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit, but it was totally on a whim. Like, I was just like, oh, let me – I saw it online, and, you know, Olivia Culpo is from Rhode Island.
Right.
She was Miss Universe. So I was like, I'm just going to sign up. Like, it can't hurt. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and it was, like, the most eye-opening experience. Like, I've never been a better version of myself. And the whole pageant, I know it sounds, like, silly because it's, like, a pageant. Mm-hmm. But it's very, like, similar to my experience, like, where I'm going to work. Because it's all, like, you. Like, you have to put the work in. And it's that you get judged on stage presence, mm-hmm. interview question on stage, like, how you carry yourself and confidence and everything that can translate right into what career I'm trying to get into. So I did it because of that. I was like, maybe I can get my face out there. But yeah. Then it turned into like this whole thing and I had so much fun. I got third out of 50, which was pretty cool. People have been doing it forever. And I was just like, oh, I'll try. And it was so much fun. I'm going to do it next year. Hopefully I'll win. Mm. But it was awesome.
So does we'll get into all the, you know, ins and outs of it. But
the nitty gritty.
Right. But the big thing I want to kind of know is, like you said, it kind of helps with everything that you're doing in sports. Mm-hmm. So how does it feel to be like on the other side of that? So for me, I've only been on a handful of podcasts and interviewed, like, you know, very rarely at times, but to be on the other side is always the best, to share your story and mm-hmm. to kind of give back what you have to have to say to whatever's going on. So, yeah. One, what were the types of questions they would ask you on stage mm-hmm. and was there behind the scenes stuff and how did you feel being on the other side of that?
Yeah, it was cool. It's always fun doing something new. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I'm so used to interviewing and doing right now at Channel 12, as we'll get into, a lot of the behind the scenes kind of stuff. So it was really cool being on the other side. It was really simple questions like, why do you want to win? And then I would be able to bring my sports into it. I want to inspire women. I want to go do something for the first time. Like stuff like that. And there's a lot of questions like that. They asked me what's hard about being a woman in sports, which I thought was a great question. Mm-hmm. On stage, they asked if I'd rather be the president or the first lady, which I thought was interesting. But I said the president, and then I explained.
Yeah.
It was very basic questions, but it was so much fun. Behind the scenes is kind of what you would expect. Mm-hmm. It's just like all the girls getting together. And when I first went in, I was like, these girls are going to be like hard to like get along with, because I thought everyone has that mindset like mm-hmm. of like what pageant girls are like. It was just all strong, independent women like supporting each other. I met so many friends. I networked. I met some people that work at the AMP at like all these different places. Mm-hmm. So it turned into a networking experience, which again, I'm sure mm-hmm. we'll talk about, but it's so fun being on the other side and being able to tell my story. And you know, that's why we do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of, I mean, I guess like sports, not like sports people, but people that you kind of recognize and you were like, oh, I didn't know you were doing this. And like, they kind of opened more doors for you for like, for what you want
to
do.
To be honest, no, like, I didn't know anyone. Like I was thinking like Rhode Island, it's small. Mm. I'm going to know, like, I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
Like, so when I walked in, I almost left the first day because I was just like, I do not fit in here. But I like didn't know anyone. I met some, like I said, people from the AMP that they were like, either like husbands or wives mm-hmm. or people that were attending. But no, Nicole Menner from Channel 10 was actually a judge. So really? I knew her. Yeah, she was a judge. So when I saw her, I was like, oh, familiar face. But I mean, I like going into those places that like I know no one because mm-hmm. it's like a clean slate. And I have the opportunity to like practice my networking. Mm-hmm. And that's everything in this industry, as you know.
Yep.
So I was just able to like go in there, be myself, tell my story, network with a ton of people from all different industries. Because really, you don't know who's going to be able to help you in the future. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one time I went to, where was I? Washington, D.C. for A10. And there was a chef mm-hmm. that like was talking to me. And I was like, oh, let me get your card. And he ended up being like the chef for like the NBA team there, and he was able to like connect me. Like, you never know who knows everyone, so it was just cool to just be able to go in there, be myself, and just meet new people.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, I mean, Cole Swider, somebody you know.
Yeah.
I was able to finally get in contact with him. I forget like what number. Yeah, I forgot what number it was, but he had a great time. We had a great interview, great talk, and it was really cool to deep dive into like the NBA. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you had the same similar conversations with him.
He's a cool guy,
super cool, super humble, and I love that, especially being from Rhode Island. But
very faithful
for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He talked a lot about that, but he contacted me with Eric Reed, who's the play-by-play voice for the Heat. He's been doing it for 35 plus years. Like, he was the first ever broadcaster for the Miami Heat, and he's been doing it since then. So mm-hmm. he's like, here's his number, like reach out, like see if you can get him on the pod. And we had it, you know, I had him on, and talking with people like that is so cool. And then be able to put that on a resume, especially like you know, your reactions to winning and getting third or second runner-up, how
did
they say
it.
It? Yeah, like that, you can use that in a tape.
Yeah.
Like, they can see, like, you've done this, you put the work into that, and I feel like that all, again, like you said, correlates to like your main goal in my eyes, like what I've seen from like an outsider's view.
Yeah, and that's what's cool about this industry is like it challenges you to put yourself in those situations that like other industries weren't. Like, for example, I used to want to be a teacher. If I was a teacher, I'd probably, and no, both my parents are teachers. Like, but it's like a comfortable kind of job. Like you go, you get your degree, you work, and like you know what you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. But with this industry, it's challenged me to like go to do a pageant, go like, literally go sing and post online because it gives you confidence. Like the most random things, but it teaches you to push yourself and try new things because you never know what's going to help you out in this industry at the end of the day. So I think that's what I like so much is like it challenges you to like really try new things, even though it seems like way left field. It's like, no, it somehow correlates with like confidence and stage presence and like, you know, just getting your face out there.
Yeah, it's super cool. And my girlfriend, actually, she wants to be a teacher. She wants to be a biology teacher. So cool. If Maddie's watching, shout out to Maddie.
Love you, Maddie.
But so it like for her, she can move wherever I'm at, right? So
that's perfect for you.
Right. It's so she can teach wherever for what she wants to do, which is great. And, like, the entry-level, like, salaries and everything is great. So it's a good way to
– summer's off.
Exactly, to start off everything. Yeah. So I guess the transition into everything in sports, before we recap, like, the last time we talked on the podcast and all that, like, if you were to have to move for a job position, you got this, you know, once-in-a-lifetime offer to kickstart something even bigger – What would be like your mindset at that time? For me, like I'm kind of in that process of getting interviews and really not knowing what's to come, but I'm ready to take that next leap. And like I just said, Maddie's ready to take that next leap. Exactly. Like it's super, like it doesn't feel real until it happens. Like we just talked about with the Celtics, but what would be your mindset? You think, how would you feel if you had to leave Rhode Island and leave your hometown in East Providence?
Yeah. I mean, the hardest part of this whole thing for me is my family. Mm-hmm. I am so close to my family. But they always say, like, no matter how far you are, like, we are supporting you. They will not follow me. Just because, I mean, my sister may, if it's close enough, but her boyfriend lives here, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't follow me. If I'm going somewhere long term, I think that they might follow me eventually. I don't think they'd follow me. But the one thing that keeps me sane throughout this whole thing is I'm Christian. I'm very faithful. And I just know God has a plan for me. So I know right now I'm meant to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm meant to be at Channel 12 where I am. Camp's Corner, Johnston, the day after the Celtics win. But God's plan kind of keeps me grounded. And it reminds me that no matter what comes, if it's staying here and riding it out for 3 years until a position opens, and that's what I'm supposed to do. If I pray about it one day and the next morning I wake up and a job opportunity comes in, I don't know, Alabama, I'll go because I know that's what God's calling me to do. But I'm very open to the idea of going where I need to go to make my career work. Right now that's here. Yes. But if the opportunity comes, I'm more than willing to look into it.
Yeah,
I'll say.
I'm excited. I'm really excited to see
what
happens.
It's so exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but, like, that's another thing about this industry that I love is, like, our lives are, like 10 years down the line, we have no idea what it's going to be. And it could be the most exciting thing. And, like, how exciting is that? That, like, and it's all up to us. Like, obviously, there's some luck to it and there's some meeting the right people. But, like, it's all up to, like, our hard work and, like, I don't know. I just think it's so exciting that we don't know what's next. And we're going through this together. It's kind of like we have people, too, that we can go and talk to about it. Ania Khan is a great reference. Stone Freeman. Like, all these people that we've met throughout the years who are so supportive and so helpful. Like, none of us are going through it alone. And obviously, I know you're religious, too, but God's with us as well. So it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting.
Yeah. Especially, like I said, going back to the preface of everything, to be from here, like the smallest state in the country. Like I saw on Facebook the other day, or actually today, they're trying to get a parade in the works for Joe. They want Joe to come back and raise the trophy. I don't know if he knows that, or if they contacted him, whatever it is.
Awesome.
The mayor put it on Facebook, so that would be super cool to be a part of it.
I can't go on Friday because I have work. So I hope he comes to Johnston. Yeah. Joe, to Johnston, please.
You could cover it.
I could. I'd be so happy.
That would be really cool. Yeah. I think, so for my graduation in 2020, when we both graduated, they had a parade because we couldn't have like a traditional, you know, walk the stage thing. Mm. They had a parade all the way down Atwood Ave. So Atwood Ave is where the rec center is.
Okay.
That's like the start of Atwood Ave, I would say. And it goes all the way down into like Cranston. So perfect. For my graduation, they had it all the way down. Like all the cars started at the high school, which is the build. It's like right next to the rec. Mm-hmm. And the cars went all the way down to like one of these office buildings, like Pax McDonald's, like almost near kind of where Cranston is. Near almost St. Rocco's in that area. Mm-hmm. All the way to, so in my head, I'm thinking that's it's going to be something similar to that. So
yeah, we can go live from the parade. Let's do it.
It's the sports page, Cam's Corner. We're going to collab live. We're going to go.
Yes.
That would be cool.
That would be sad.
That would be super cool.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah. We'll figure it out when the time comes. Hopefully if the time comes.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
For sure. But to recap, again, season one, episode 22 was the first time I think we ever had like an actual conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened since that point. So obviously you guys can see that first episode and how much everything has changed. I think my on camera presence has just like gotten so much better from
Thank
that point.
You.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank
like
you. Yours has as well.
I look back at, cause Joe was my first interview. I'm like, I can't even use some of this stuff.
Was he your first interview?
First ever interview. Yeah.
Wow. What a great interview.
I was so bad though. Like the questions were good. Don't get me wrong. I honestly, the questions were pretty good. I do not like my voice wasn't like amplified. It was just very, very low key. Which was like, hey, how was this? Oh, but what about that? How was that? And it wasn't like my personality because I was nervous. Yeah. Even knowing the family, I was just going into it like, I don't know how to be myself in this situation. It was the first time it's I ever hard. Sat behind a camera and did something.
People don't realize. Yeah. It's very hard.
It is.
Like, yeah. Everyone used to tell me, I might have said this comment before. I don't remember if it was the first episode or not, but someone said I had the personality of a houseplant on one of my broadcasts. And it's so hard to show your personality over the screen. And that's like one of the most important things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what's so good about podcasting and like me trying to do like the sports page is like, it kind of forces you to get your personality in there because when you're doing a broadcast, like when you first are starting, it's so hard to like have the confidence to put your personality in there because you're like, people don't care about my personality. Like, yeah. I just want to, but I think that's, people don't realize.
I know that you have to kind of have like a welcoming
aura.
Yeah. And then that's how people kind of get adjusted to it. But off the rip, they don't get that we're from, like we're students and we're trying to learn like and get better at this.
Yeah.
But that's the greatest thing about URI. So I guess to transition into our last episode, from that point, I think it was before junior year started. So I mentioned before, like we started recording, you were the first sideline reporter on ESPN Plus and at Yearview for all the men's basketball broadcasts. And I think it was Flow Sports for football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that still Yearview too?
Yes.
So that was the first ever time they had a position open like that. Mm-hmm. So that was really the start to junior year. So talk about how that position came open. I'm sure Shane Donaldson, our SID, had a lot to do with that happening and giving you that opportunity. But, again, we talked about networking. How did you network yourself to be, like, a head candidate for that?
So the funny part is that position was created by me. I don't know if you
– I did not know that.
Yeah. So I saw – okay, so my whole mindset was I'm not good at color commentary. Which people can say I am. I'm not. Like, it's not my thing.
It's tough. You don't.
You are great at it. You're good at the play-by-play. Like, that's not my thing. And I know that. Like, you got to know your weaknesses as much as you know your strengths. And I was like, I don't want to do that again. I'm not good at play-by-play. I was like, I could make my own little thing. Like, Brooke Boyer, I don't know if you know her, but she's been doing, like, her own little packages on Go Roadie, which is great. I think, I don't know if that was her idea, but she's doing that now.
Yeah.
I was thinking about something like that, and I was like, I could do that. And then I was like, sideline reporter, like, that's perfect for me. And that's, like, obviously my end goal. So I collaborated a lot. I just brainstormed at home. I was like, what equipment will I need? What will I need to do? Then I contacted Dave Walter, and I was like, will this be possible? He's the broadcasting leader. I don't really know his position.
One of the producers, right.
Producers, yeah. And he was like, maybe, probably. Mm. So then I went in, and we, like, started brainstorming. Shane got involved. Everyone were just like, yeah, this is great. Like, let's do it. And the first – we did football first, and it was terrible the first day. My microphone wasn't working. The camera guy, like, was supposed to follow me around, but then he, like, left, and I was like, oh, my God.
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah, I was like,
that was one of my first games there, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a mess the first game, but then, like, as time went on, it got really good. And I told him before, I was like, if we're going to do this, like, is there any way, like, I can have the position for the year? Because I was like, I want to make it, like, really strong, and I want to be consistent. So people are like, this is an actual position. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, like, it's all yours. So I was like, so then we went into basketball as well, and it was just like – it was a mix between networking because they trusted me that I was going to put the work into it to make it good, but also innovation, where I was like, it's so valuable for you to like bring, you need to bring value and bring people what they don't have already. Like, that's the kind of the key. And I did the same thing, we'll talk about it, but with the A10, that position was not a position. I saw other conferences were doing it, and I was like, I can do this for you guys. Like, let me do it. And then they were like, okay, like, if you figure it out, like, go for it.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, cool. So a lot of innovation, a lot of creativity, but, yeah, I came up with that
position. So you pitched it to URI, you pitched it to the A10.
Yeah.
So the A10 was more centric around basketball, of course, because URI football is in the CAA.
Right.
I guess that process too, like pitching into the A10. Yeah. Like, did you DM somebody? Did you just kind of have like a mutual contact or?
Yeah. How that so work? For the A10, I've been working with them, and this was all Shane Donaldson. I give him full credit for this. There was a school ambassador program that I did my freshman or sophomore year, one of the two, and I would literally just like take pictures across campus of like weather. No, it was literally just that. And I would send it to the A10, and they would, like, post it on their account. And apparently I was, like, the only student that actually did it. Like, no one else was sending stuff. So then they were like, hey, like, come to our championship. Like, do social media. I was like, oh, cool. They paid for my travel. They paid for my hotel, my food. And I just literally hung out with, like, the core leadership of A10. Like, I was, like, part of their team as, like, an 18-year-old. And I was like, this is awesome. So, like, that was huge with networking because they got to know me on, like, a super personal level. Like, I shared a room with one of the people, like, very, like, a personal level. So then the next year I did strictly social. So that must have been my freshman year, because then the next year I did social media for them all year. And I just – I don't know if I asked them or they asked me, but it was very much like, hey, I'll just come to championships and run socials. And they're like, okay, cool. And, like, they paid me, but, like, not a lot. So it was more like an internship than anything. Then my junior year, I was like, I want to do something big for them. Like, this is my year. Yeah. And I knew I was graduating my junior year. Because
you knew that before?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I knew it in, like, December. I knew it, like, early on in my junior year. So I was like, I got to do something big. I got to, like, end off with a bang.
Yeah.
So I pitched the idea to them, and I was like, we want to show the athletes' personalities. Like, this is the way to do it. Like, I can interview them. Like, I'm very good at, like, taking, like, the personalities out of people. Like, I can do that. And then I pitched it. I made a video that actually got posted. That was, like, my little trial. Yep. I don't know if you saw it. I was, like, in the Raptors of URI. Like, my name is Paige Messier, and I'm going to be your
I think so. It's coming back to me a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, like, my, like, trial. Mm-hmm. And I sent it, and then they posted it. And I was like, I guess it's a thing.
Yeah.
And then I went to all the media days. All the coaches got to, like, really like me and know me. And I built connections with them. And then they started to, like, recognize, like, oh, media station, Beth Paige. So then I was able to get personalities out of them. Even coaches I thought didn't really have much of one, they all did. Like, A10 has such a good group of coaches and players and leadership. So that was awesome. And that's, like, probably my biggest accomplishment, is just, like, being really innovative and, like, finding opportunity where there's none. And that's what I've been able to really do. And that's what I try to now, the story that I tell, like, at the pageant, was, like, I want to do this so that there's something left for people behind me. Like, now there's people doing the sideline position. Now there's someone that's going to be doing the A10 position. So it's cool, because I'm making an actual change for the next group of people. And particularly sideline reporters are a lot of time women. So I like that. Yeah. I'm giving some women some opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And, like, we didn't know. I mean, because I know that senior year. So before senior year, I don't know if I told you this story. I've talked about it a few times. I had an interview with the Utah Jazz to be – like a radio, like, production assistant. I talked to Justin a lot, of course, with it, and, like, hey, how's it like out there? Like, they actually gave me an interview, and he's like, you know, if all goes well, it's beautiful out here, this that, like, the Jazz, the NBA is amazing.
That's so cool.
So this is, like, late, this is, like, 2 years before, 2 years, 2 weeks before senior year started.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this gonna happen? Like, I was 15 out of, like, 100 and some whatever people it was to get, like, an interview, and, like, this is, like, an actual NBA job. This could start something. And it's like, in my head, I'm like, if I get this, I'm doing school online, finish a senior year, and I'm gonna live out in Utah and be in the NBA. This is my dream, like, this kickstart the career. Interview went well. I didn't end up getting the job, but when I look back at it, I got so much more play-by-play experience. I got so much more, like, internship experience, and, like, my name got, I guess, more, not like bigger in the media, but like in Rhode Island. Yeah. I mean, not like on a grand scheme, but
Rhode Island's small.
Yeah, exactly. Like the stuff with Joe and the documentary and whatnot. Like just more, like if I wasn't here, like that stuff wouldn't happen. So right.
Everything happens for a reason.
I'm a firm believer in that.
You were on Channel 6.
That was really cool.
I saw.
That was super cool.
That was super cool.
Yeah.
I watched, I was like, Kale.
Yep. That was really, really cool. Caitlin Gale House was the reporter. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes all back to networking. Like, she didn't know who I was or what I did. She just knew that I had some kind of connection with the family. And I told her that, oh, I do this, this, this. She's like, oh, we're working. I'm like, well, don't have a job, but I did I did all this stuff. And
yeah.
She's like, wow, that's awesome. And then I finally met her in person. And she's like, oh, we'll be in touch and whatnot. And you know how that goes. Like, sometimes they have stuff, they don't. But it's always good to know that person because you never know who else they know or how far up the totem pole they can bring you. But,
right. And I must say, about, like, so a lot of the time I personally say, like, my resume, like, when I was going through the job process, I was like, my resume, like, means nothing. Like, I'm going through all these people, and my resume means absolutely nothing. And I thought I came out of college, and anyone that knows me was probably like, Paige's resume is stacked.
Yep.
But, like, no one cares. And it's like,
no one cares.
But at the end of the day, like, my mindset has kind of shifted on that because, like, although, like, the entry level, it's hard to get your first job.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard. It took me a few months. It's very hard to get your first job. But in my eyes, it's, like, everything on your resume, whether employers care about it or not, like, that's your story. Like, that's everything that you've done.
In chronological order.
And it's, like, you can look at that and be, like, this is all that I've accomplished. And, like, I'm just going to keep adding to it. And, like, I've kind of viewed my resume at this point as, like, my story. Like, it's, like, I don't care if employers don't really care about it. I care about it. It kind of describes who you are as a person and as a worker. And it's just something to be proud of. Because I've always been proud of my resume. And then when I started applying, I was like, oh, no one cares. But it's like, no. Like, that, when you apply to something, and this is something, like, advice I can tell, like, the younger generation, even though I'm still going through it, there's literally, like, thousands of applicants. Like, most of the time, the employers aren't even looking at your resume. They can't. Like, there's too many. They're probably just like, duh, duh, duh. And they probably already know who they're going to hire. Let's be honest here. So, like, don't get discouraged when you can't find your first job or having a hard time. And you're like, no one cares about my resume. Be proud of your resume because it took a lot of work to get there. And you'll just keep adding to it. And eventually, you'll get the job. And a lot of the time, it's luck. A lot of the time, there's a lot to it. It's not always, there's not enough on my resume. There's enough on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
That's my advice.
Yeah, and for us, too, for anybody that wants to get into, like, TV, like, news, sports, whatever it is, they want to see what you've done, not only, like, on paper, but a lot of the, like, I guess, example resumes that I've seen that has worked for a lot of sports people, news people, is, like, making it a little bit more graphic and kind of make it stand out, have the social medias on there, like, you know.
Have a website.
Website, exactly. Portfolio's huge. Mm-hmm. So with all the experience you had with the A10, ESPN+, we talked a lot about, like, you starting that position. And something super, super cool at the Ryan Center, I'm sure you already know what I'm going to say, with Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry.
Yes.
Like, at the time, Kyle was on the Heat. Little rumor, well, Devin Carter's dad was an assistant with the Heat.
Yep,
so PC, Providence College, came to Rhode Island, URI, in Kingston, Rhode Island, in the Ryan Center.
I can't believe this was after the first podcast. This seems like so long ago.
After the first podcast. Well, this was probably a year after the first podcast because it was like in that December. Well, no, we did it in like the more probably like the
it
summer.
It was a while.
But still, like we didn't have like another episode or whatever.
Yeah.
So a lot's happened since that point.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, all the media people. We had Kyle Standing was a senior. Adam Bernstein was a senior. Ania Khan, Okan was a senior. Like, we had so many people. You technically were a senior. Like, this is your last, like, go-about.
Yeah.
And I was going to say hurrah. I didn't know what word to say. So I said last. I don't know.
It's okay.
But so that was, like, a rumor going around. Jimmy and Kyle are going to be here. Like, you know, that's not
going
to happen.
See, the rumor was going around. I had no idea.
Me either.
I had no clue. I thought it was going to be Lamar Odom. Everyone's like, oh, a big guy's going to be here. I was like, oh, it's going to be Lamar Odom. That's going to be super cool.
Yeah.
Then I'll let you continue. But then they were, like, saying that. I was like, no.
I'll tell you, like, from my standpoint. But, like, you actually got to talk to both of them and interview them. That's super cool.
Yes.
But I was doing newscast for the Cigar. Good 5 cent cigar for Rhode Island. And something that I didn't really do a lot. I was trying to get into the broadcast and be, like, a color guy, play-by-play. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know what? Let me be versatile and try to do as much as possible. And that's helped me out a ton in this job process now. But
for sure,
backtracking a little bit, that was, like, one of my first go-abouts at it. And I'm sitting on the baseline towards the entrance to like the media room. So like the one furthest to like the I think
where JV is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on like the right side over there, on the right side of the stanchion. And I'm sitting down like crisscross, like on the baseline, not even in a seat. People start coming in. I get a bump like on my back. Like someone like pushed me a little bit. I'm like, oh, I turn around and he's like, oh, my bad. It's Kyle Lowry. He shakes my hand. Rose gold Rolex just shakes my hand. I'm like, oh my God, it's Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, no worries, man. Like, it's a pleasure to meet you. So then he goes and sits down.
Like, do it again.
Goes and sits down to his seat. And I'm like, you know what? Like, there's no one sitting next to him. I want to get up and go sit next to him.
Yeah.
So I sat, like, I didn't like sit like right next to him, but I sat like a seat or two. I'm like, hey, my name's Cam. Like, I'm a reporter or whatever here, and I do this. Pleasure to meet you. I just, like, I asked him like one question, like, what would be your best advice for somebody wanting to get into sports? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, so what do you do? Like, not even at, like saying anything. He's like, what do you do? So I told him everything I did, like the podcast, what I do. He's like, just keep at it. Don't stop. Like, kind of like the same thing that people say. But it's super cool to hear that from an NBA player, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man, pleasure to meet you. So like, obviously I couldn't sit on that same spot. So like a few minutes goes by and I'm kind of walking around. And then the lights go down. They're about to start like the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler walks by.
With the fur coat.
Like, can I get a picture? Took a quick picture. Yeah. You're not supposed to do that in the media either. If you're a part of the media, do not do that. I didn't know that. I was young. I was first time.
A great picture.
Kind of. It's like my face is kind of like, it looks Photoshopped, but.
I think I've seen that.
The Kyle one was good. That one was before the game. It was stand up. That was cool.
Yeah.
But back to you, like how that worked.
So I wasn't supposed to go.
But you obviously had the idea, like, oh, we should do this. We need to do this. I saw you, like, quick. Like, you were super quick with it. You had a camera pack, like, had the battery, little quick camera, boom. And it was a package at halftime.
Yeah.
That happened super fast.
It did.
Run me through that whole process and your mindset during that quick change of events.
Yeah. So I was still young at this time. Like, I know it seemed – like, I've grown a lot, I always say, in the past, like, 2 years. At that point, I think I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only 21 now. And I was like freaking out. So I was not supposed to go to that game because there was no sideline reporter because it was Providence College and URI. So it was national. And so then I was like, okay, like how can I get in there? And I could have gone anyway, but I was like, how can I work? So then for that game in particular, I was like, you know what? I think there's going to be some Rhodey alums coming in. Let's do a package for the next halftime. Like, let's just, so James O'Leary came with me.
Yep.
And he was like, I'll be your photographer. And I was like, this is awesome. He got me all set up, and I had done – the whole point of me going was to do an interview with JV and, like, be the person for a day that, like, throws the – like, a hype person for the day. Yeah. So then I found out that someone cool was coming, so I was like, oh, I wonder if I can interview them. And I was like – because I was already doing a few people. And then I didn't even know who was coming until they walked in. And then they walked in, and I was like, I'm not ready for this. I was like, I'm not – but in this industry, never say you're not ready. You get yourself ready. Mm-hmm. For the opportunity when it presents itself. No doubt. Even if you're not ready, you're ready at that point because you get yourself ready.
You gotta make it happen.
So I took some deep Sharpay breaths and I was like, all right, let's do this. So then I just went up. At first, I don't think Jimmy was there yet.
That was after.
So I went up to Kyle and I was like, hello, sir. And I just like shook his hand. I was like, my name is Paige. I was like, I'm gonna take 2 minutes of your time, not even. I was like, can we have a little conversation? He was like, sure. He was so nice.
Oh my God,
he
super
was
nice.
Awesome.
Yes.
So I'm freaking out. I'm not going to lie. I was really nervous because at this point, like I was just interviewing players. Like, I don't even think I was interviewing coaches at that point. So I was like super, super nervous, but it ended up going great. I mean, it was loud behind me and I was like screaming into the mic. It could have been better. It's like the interview with you and Joe. That's how I feel about the interview with me and Kyle and Jimmy.
It's your first, though. You look at it.
Yeah. If I had the opportunity again, if they come back, it'll be a lot better.
Oh, my God. I say that all the time.
Yeah. But then Jimmy came in, and Kyle was in, like, a jumpsuit, like a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
So very chill. Beanie. Jimmy comes in. Fur coat. Blinged out. Like, sunglasses. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, he's going to be so mean to me. I was like, I can't do this. So then I, like, tap him, like, when he comes in. I'm like, can I interview? He's like, I'll do it at halftime. I was like, oh, sure. So I walk away, and then at halftime, he leaves. And I was like, oh, no.
Damn.
I was like, oh, no. But then he came back from halftime, and I start running after him. Because I was like, he told me yes. So, like, I'm going to get it done. Like, if you have the opportunity to interview Jimmy Buckets, you're going to get it done. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm doing it. So then I, like, tapped him again. I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, but can I just, take a second of your time? And he was a little bit like, okay, come on, let's do it. And I was like, okay. So then we did it. He ended up being, like, so, like...
He seemed pretty cool.
So funny. Yeah. Like, so, so funny. He was laughing. He was making jokes. It was, like, the best interview ever. And, like, all these, like, Twitter accounts started being like, oh, can we use this video? And I was like, sure. And it was awesome. He started talking about flopping right in front of Kyle, which is, like, funny because, you know, Kyle DeFlauffer.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so funny. It was such a good experience. It was good, like, experience-wise, just, like, get it done to know that, like, I can do it. Like, you're not going to get much, like, higher status than Jimmy Butler. You're just not. I did Jeff Doughton after that, which was pretty cool. I did a few other people.
Quinn Cook was there, too.
Yeah.
Was it easier to do them once you had that?
It was. It was so much easier. And also, what I found is, like, when you have time to have conversations with them before, it's also a lot easier. Because, like, it's so transactional when you just go up to them and you're like, can I do an interview right now? And then it's like, they don't care about you because it's like, yeah, sure. But when I, like, Quinn Cook, I was able to sit next to him before because I had planned it out to do it at halftime. So I, like, sat next to him. I talked about his relationship with Bryon and, like, all of this stuff. So I had a relationship with him slightly before I got to interview him. So it was so much easier. And I felt so much more confident anyway because I had been doing it for a while. But those were some pretty cool ones. At URI, I mean,
doesn't get much better than that. That was sick.
No. Yeah. You're not going to get any better than that. You're right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and if they ever do retire Lamar's, I don't know if they have plans to do that, but if they ever do that, like, that would be an even cool. Like, you could do the same thing with that if you're still here at that point, if that happens. But if the stars align and it happens.
You
but,
too.
Well, no, I'm not going to. Oh, me, yeah, if I'm here. Oh,
if you're here.
I was like, wait, I'm not going to get my jersey retired. Like, what's going on?
Johnston.
Johnston. I was barely not even a 1,000-point scorer, but.
That's pretty good.
Not even close.
You're like 200.
Yeah, like, I'd say like 4, maybe. Okay. But anyway.
Almost halfway.
Like, that NBA experience is crucial. I feel like that sticks out, again, but going back to, like, resumes.
I don't use that enough. What, I don't even talk about that. No, the Jimmy Butler thing.
Oh, you should.
I should put on my resume.
But you have it on your website, right? It's like the, isn't it like the header? Because I looked at it before we started. It's like the, kind of like a montage type of thing.
Isn't that cool?
It is. Like, that sticks out when you click on that. Like, oh, Jimmy Butler. Everyone knows Jimmy Butler is, right? That's what I lead with on my website when I have, like my podcast page. I have, like, a little tab for, like, notable guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put the link. So, like, obviously Joe's at the top. And, like, Cole.
Right.
Eric Reed, who I just talked about a little while ago. Like, Drew Carter.
Awesome guy.
Awesome. Like, what are the NBA players? Ricky Lito. Just people like that.
You had someone on the Cowboys, right?
Ricky Lito played in the NBA. Oh, yeah, so Sam Knox. Shout out Sam. He's the best. One of his friends from his hometown got drafted by the Cowboys, and now he's with the Lions.
Oh, cool.
His name's Sean McKeon, so he was a great interview. The people like that, so, like, notable people, so, like, they, you know, depict it. But that's what I feel like sticks out, again, like we talked about, to the employers the most.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was at 12 in the summer, last summer, I never met David Duke, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
He had a camp at Moses Brown. I think it was at Moses Brown, or it was, like, across the street from Brown University, and some, like, one of, like, the complexes. And I had to interview him. Like, I wasn't gonna be on camera or anything, but I had to ask him the questions to give the sound bites back to Sam, and it was great, or Maury, whoever it was at the time. But it was really cool. So, but I was nervous for you to be on camera with that. It's like.
Yeah.
You know, where did you go from that point? So after all those, like, in your head, like, I know you're always like, okay, how can I what's next? Like, how do I boss up from that?
Yeah.
I'm like that too. So, like, I had the documentary for Dan, like, it was a great day. And, like, I wake up the next day and it's like, how can I like better that? How can I do something even bigger than that?
Right.
So your mindset, junior year's almost done. You're almost graduating. All that stuff happens quick. Like, what's your mindset in your next, you know, I guess, plan of attack after that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, it's hard not to be too hard on yourself, which, like, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes you just have to, like, appreciate the wins and, like, take a second and, like, and I know it's so hard for us because, like, we're always trying to, like, get the next thing. But one thing I've learned throughout my experience in this industry so far is just, like, when you win, like, just –
celebrate,
like,
the small
literally
wins.
Just celebrate it. Like, you don't always have to, like, automatically do the next best thing. Like, you should eventually. But, like, that's one thing that I've really tried to, like, do recently, especially, like, with Miss Rhode Island. Like, I got third, and I was, like, the very next day, I was, like, how am I going to win next year? That was the first thing that I thought. Like, when I got, literally before I got off stage, I was, like, next year, what am I going to do to win?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, then my family kind of grounded me, and they were, like, you got third, like, that's pretty good for your first time.
First try.
And again, that's, like, teaching me, like, that experience kind of helped me, like, with my work experience. It's, like, the job at Channel 12. I was, like, all right, how am I going to get to the next step at Channel 12? And then my boss actually was, like, be present. Do what you're doing good right now, and, like, you'll get there. And I was, like, you know what? You have a point. Like, you just have to be present where you are. Do your job well, and, like, the good things will come. Like, just go above and beyond, and the good things will come. However, I think what I...
Stressful.
I think the sports page is my answer to that. Like, that was what my next step was. Like, once I started doing all the sports interviews and the sideline reporting, I think the sports page was, like, the baby of it. Like, I think that's what got bred.
Did you come up with a name? Or okay. You did?
I did. Yeah, the sports page.
I didn't come up with Cam's Corner, so...
You didn't?
No. My buddies... do you know Nick and Tom Camella?
Yeah.
So they just moved down to Florida, so I'm missing them like crazy if they're watching at home, but...
Oh, they moved?
They moved. Yep, they left. They're done. They said, we're done with Rhodey. They went to Stonehill. They played Division I football down there. But it was one day just in the car, and like right after COVID, and they're like, oh, you were a good three-point shooter, like, in the corner. Like, what about Cam's Corner? I'm like, duh, why didn't I think of that?
So that's good.
I did a little AI-generated thing. I didn't even come up with this either, so, like, everything just kind of...
You're making me think now. Did I come up with it? I think I did.
Sports page?
My dad might have. Now that I'm thinking of it, I think I did, but I don't know.
I give all the credit to them anytime I talk about it.
My dad, I mean, I give my dad credit for every sports thing that I've ever done in my life.
Yeah,
so.
he's a big one on the sports page. If you follow the page, he's all over. He's all over the place.
He's the best.
He's like the second, like, you're the one. He's the two. He's like...
He's the two. He's the one on the two, but I, like... That I think that was my next step because I was like, it's the one thing that I can control in my life right now, which sounds so crazy.
It's your brand,
but it's like,
you.
Yeah, like for this, like the same thing. It's like this job is so like you have no control. Like it kind of just like I mean you have slightly, but like things are gonna happen. The work's gonna be work, and the sports page is like my one thing. It's like my baby, and it's like that's like my thing that I can control. And like when I go to like I got to go to the draft, like the party in Gillette Stadium and talked to Coach Mayo and like
and you just get access like from yourself. You say, hey,
yeah,
well obviously you built a relationship with Casey and all that, but
I go with
you just do that your
sports
own, on your
page
own.
I don't go with Channel 12. Nice. I go with sports page, so that it's been super cool to like build it, and like we were talking about earlier, like I got it verified and like I did all this stuff, so it was like it's cool to get the next steps. I'm still trying to like brainstorm like how to make it a brand. I still don't, like, right now it's more of a portfolio than anything, but I'm trying to brainstorm to make it more of a brand. We're getting there.
You got the little logo. Like, that's the whole part. That's pretty cool. Like, the, like, professional headshots, you work that way into the logo, and that looks awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, like, you're always trying to do the next step and, like, really make it professional, and I'm trying. It's hard because when you have, I work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, so it's, like, I have a full-time job. Like, it's hard to... also do that, and my dad always bugs. He's like, Paige, post, but I'm like, Dad, I am tired, like, and you don't want to wear yourself out, but if you're really passionate about something, you'll do it, so that's what I mean, he pushes me every day to, I would not do any of this without my father, so I give him all the credit, and sports page is like my baby.
Shane,
shout
out Shane.
Yeah,
better be watching.
He's the best. He'll be watching. He's the best.
That's how I go through everything, especially like with posting. Like sometimes, like you have like a dry spot where you don't have anything for a week, and it's like,
what do I do?
Right? Like, I remember.
That's why I did tableside talks.
Yes, it's something new. It's something just to keep posting,
and it's easy. Like, not to like be like, oh, easy is the better
but
way.
It's quick. Everyone has such a short attention span. It's quick. If he cracks a joke, and it's a lot, it's like that's a reel. That's a 30-second reel.
Right. Sorry, you were saying something. I interrupted
you. I always look at these articles on the wall about the documentary, and I always anytime I have a guest in person, it makes me think back of like oh my god, like just sleepless nights, like just working on it. I remember I just told this story to. I had an interview for a job. I told the story in the interview. I was talking with Nick Hoyt. Nick and Ian are the best at Channel 6.
So supportive. I love them.
They're the best. I was supposed to work with them. Instead of 12, I might have told you this too at some point, but I was working,
maybe.
I was like working towards an internship with them. I was like, I have the Sports Hub experience in Boston. I have radio experience. I have the ESPN experience. Like, let me get everything I can to build like, you know, a good, solid, real resume, whatever. So I would always put it in Nick's ear every game. Hey, Nick, like, you know, any word on the, it's like, oh, we'll get to it. And then like the application finally goes out. So. Mm-hmm. I submit it, and I told Nick, hey, Nick, I applied, just to let you know. Like, great, thanks for following up. On my birthday, the March 31st, on my birthday, he's like, Cam, you got it. This is great.
Yay.
We're gonna go through everything, and you're going to come with us in May or whenever the semester's over. So it's not set in stone, but it's set in stone with me. I just got to confirm everything, but I just wanted to tell you congratulations.
Wait, this story goes bad because you ended up at 12.
Yep. So he's like,
gosh.
Not bad. Everything happens for a reason.
I know what you mean.
But, yes, during that time, yeah. So March 31st. This is March 31st. I'm at Twin Oaks with my parents. I'm like, oh, I just got the internship with Nick. And they're like, oh, my God, that's great. So we celebrated that. I celebrated my 21st birthday.
Woohoo.
It was awesome. Yeah. So then I'm out in Gansett. This is my first time, like, moving away from school. And I'm at Bonnet Shores. So I'm, like, 10 minutes away from school. It was great. I had a great spot. But I'm in the midst of doing this. So April 6th, I put out a trailer. Danny's day of passing was the 22nd. Mm-hmm. So I literally had 2 weeks to put everything together that I've been working on for the last 8 months. Mm-hmm. I put out a trailer on the 6th, and it blew up. And, like, I'm not even just here. Like, I never like to, like, brag about that stuff, but it blew up. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is so awesome. Joe texts me. All this stuff happens. And I'm like, this is a great day. And I'm going to celebrate today. I'm going to take a break from it and go celebrate. But right before I get in my car and I get a call from Nick. Nick calls me. I go, oh, my God, like, what's up? How you doing? He's like, Cam, like, this, that. Long story short, like, they just didn't have an internship program. So, like, they didn't have any internship, any interns at all.
Yeah.
So I really don't know, like, the main reason. And it's nothing, like, Nick could have controlled or whatever. But he's like, I'm going to put a word in for Channel 12. We'll see what happens. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know, like, Danny always said it is what it is. So I just kept my head down, kept working. Long story short, Maury called that next week. And, you know, it happened. So then the next week after that, Channel 6 comes and they document that. So it all goes back to, like, just doing, like, it is what it is. And all, you know, everything will prevail. And I think that tied into what we were talking about, like, just, like, again, everything happens for a reason, all that stuff. So
you have to have some sort of faith in this industry.
Exactly.
Like, if I didn't have my faith, I don't know. Like, my mind would just be crazy.
Right. And I'm sure you thought that, like, during the graduation period. And but the sports
page. I feel your pain. Yeah. Don't you worry. I feel it. I was a waitress from – I mean, I waitressed my whole life. But I was waitressing from May to November. And I had nothing. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, I have 2 degrees and I'm waitressing. Like,
it's the I'm a bar back. I've been doing it since I was, 16 maybe? It's not bad. It's just like, oh, it's the worst. I hate working with people. I'm sorry if anyone's watching this. I just don't like, because people can be mean, especially in a restaurant. They can be mean. But
I don't envy waitresses at all.
No, I give them all the credit. And they deserve the tips. Like, we deserve the tips.
Tip 20%, y'all.
But again, that period of graduating, it's tough. Like, it's your mind is scrambling. But again, tying into that story that I just told and everything we've been talking about, like, everything happens for a reason, right? So the sports page was your brand. Like, that was something that you were able to get kickstarted off the ground, kind of similar to this, but at a more, like, grand scheme of things. And you get it verified, and it's more tied into Channel 12. You're at Patriots events. You're, like, outside of Gillette. You're doing all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess, how did that open the door for the opportunity with Channel 12? How did all this kind of, obviously, being from Rhode Island and being always around the people helps in a way, but still, like, you still had to apply and go through all that process. So how does all that you experienced tie into that hiring process?
Yeah, so I mean, I literally applied to, like, 50 jobs, like, not a day, like, literally, like, nonstop. Not having a job is a full-time job. Like, you're applying to jobs like a full-time job. It was crazy. And like you said, I was just, like, trusting the process, and I was, and again, like, this industry looks so glamorous. I was literally waking up before my shifts at Cello's on the Waterfront at 3, and I would drive myself to Gillette in the morning. I didn't have any kind of passes or anything. I would just stand outside the stadium in the rain and just, like,
yeah,
and talk. And there's no reason why I had to be there. I was just like, it looks good. Like, it looks good, the stadium behind me. Maybe I'll see a reporter walk by. Maybe I'll see someone. Like, it was just like, and I did. Tamara, I saw her all the time walk by. She's a Patriots reporter.
Yes.
I'll talk to her. It's like, it's little things like that. It's like, I just wanted to be down there.
For sure.
So it took a lot of that, just, like, free, like, going down there, like, doing nothing. And I had the time because I didn't have a job at that point. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do that. But I was applying to jobs. I wasn't getting anything. But then I knew I was building my reel. I was like, I'm going to get something. Like, I'm doing stuff nonstop every day. So then Channel 12, I was actually at the A10 Media Day in October, and Channel 12 had reached out to me, and because I was an intern there, and I think one of the employees had mentioned my name about this job. And I was very, like, hesitant. I was like, I don't know. Like, it's not sports. I don't know if I want to do it. But at the end of the day, I was like, this is my offer. I was like, I don't really have any other offers. And I was like, it's a really great market, like, surrounded by such good workers, such good leadership. And I was like, I'm going to learn if nothing. Like, if I get nothing from this, I'm going to learn the news industry. I'm going to learn behind the scenes. I'm going to make money. I'm going to have dental insurance. I was like, this is going to be great. So I ended up taking the job, and I for the first 6 months of me being there, I was a digital content producer and assignment desk. So I was working every single weekend. I worked on Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve. Like, I worked every single holiday. And I was just like, you know what? It's going to work out. Like, but then at one point, I just realized that the assignment desk part wasn't for me. And I was just, it was very negative. I don't know. It was a lot of sad news. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my boss and stuff. And I was like, I need something, like, new. Like, I don't really like what I'm doing. And this job opportunity came up. I applied for it. It's digital video producer. So it's very similar. But it's pretty much I control all the videos on the website and social media. And I knew that meant I can get on camera a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is great. So I applied. They were impressed by the work I did in the first 6 months, even though it wasn't what I wanted to do, really. They saw that I was, like, really trying hard.
It worked out, yeah.
Yeah, so they were like, yeah, it's perfect for you, like, 100%. So then I switched that job. Technically, it's a promotion. So I was like, this is – I'm moving up in the world.
Yeah, a little bit more money. You're getting more experience.
Right, right. So it was I'm doing that now. I've been doing it for, like, a month and a half, 2 months. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's building my video editing skills, which is, like, so important in this industry. Like, I'm making, like, 100 videos a week. So it's constant and it keeps me busy and I get to do sports stuff and I love my team. Like, the digital team at WPRI 12 is the most.
You guys are always posting. I see that.
Most supportive. Like, they're my friends. Like, truly, like, everyone in there, like, I would go get a beer with, like, outside of work. Mm-hmm. Like, I love each and every one of them. Like, they made this. Like, I would not still be at 12 if it wasn't for my team. Like, they are the most unbelievable people. Mm. I love them.
Rhodey alums, too, some of them, right?
Yeah. A lot of
works out.
East Providence High School alums. Is wow. My boss is went to my same high school. So, yeah.
That's good.
I love my team.
Yeah, when you have a chemistry in any situation, it works out great.
And they want the best for me. Like, that's what I like, too. Like, they know I love sports. Like, whenever there's a sports thing, they're like, Paige, do it. So, I like them. They're pretty cool.
Like, deep dive into that, I guess, more so about, like, the responsibility. Talk about kind of, like, the general, like, idea of what goes on. You make about 100, episodes, 100 videos a week. But more so, like, what are you trying to get out of it the most? Like, we talked about it a little bit, but you want, of course, at the end of the day, when you think about, like, 10 years down the line, you want to be a sports reporter.
Right.
How do you think this is going to help you get to that point at some point? Obviously, this is just the start, but you have to, you know, you always look towards
the
future.
You know me. Yeah. I'm always looking
ahead. I'm the same exact way, but how does this help you, I guess, like, this current time?
Yeah. So when I first started, I mean, I was 21. I was 21. Mm. Still am. But I was like, this is, like, my senior year of high school. Like, I mean, of college.
This is
literally my senior year of college.
Graduated early, yeah.
So I was like, no matter what. That's why I had the learning experience. I was like, no matter what, I'm going to learn. So my goal in the first place was just to go in there and learn, talk to everyone that's been there forever, like the Tony Petrakas, the Shannon Hagees, like get as much information out of them as I possibly can while also creating a good product so that I can use it on my resume. Mm-hmm. Like, and the more I've been there, the more I've learned, like, any experience is a good experience. And, like, people would always tell me that, and I was like, no, it's not. Like, I want. Like, it's not. But it is true. Like, I'm kind of, my mindset right now is, like, I'm taking what I can from it. And, I mean, I'm performing pretty well there. And I'm enjoying it. So, it's, like, I don't know how it's going to help me, to be honest. Like, to be completely honest, I don't know. All I know is, like, I think I'm meant to be here. I'm learning every day. I'm making good connections. I'm using the skills, like, the video editing, all that, for my outside life too. So I'm just taking it as a learning experience, really. Like, I'm just, and also that transition from college to, like, a real job, like, it's, you'll see, it's like to have, like, a true 9-to-5, like, it's interesting. Like, it's like a weird shift in your life. And I think a big thing with this is, like, I'm able to live at home. Like, I'm able to still have, like, that, like, support behind me from, like, living at home, being here, but also having that transition to, like, and it sounds so immature, but, like, an adult life. Like,
yeah, no,
it's
kind of
true. So it's a good start. And, like, my bosses and everything know, like, they're like, we know that this is just your start. Like, we want to elevate you. And that's being somewhere where, like, people truly want to elevate you is, like, more valuable than a lot of things. So I think right now I'm just happy that, like, I'm in a place where, like, people want me to succeed. Mm. And, like, they're trying to help me to get there, which is great. Like, my boss was like, if you want to apply somewhere, I'll give you a recommendation no matter what. Like, and that's, like, you don't get that everywhere. Like, not every boss is that supportive. And obviously, he doesn't want me to leave. But, like, just to know that I have that support behind me is, like, huge. And I think that's what WPRI does, like, really, really well.
Yeah. And Godsham, God's son, Godsham, God Jr., actually, he kind of said the same thing when I interviewed him a few times on the pod. And he had such a big relationship with Joe because he was coached by Joe at Fairmount. And then once he was done playing, he became, like, an assistant under Joe at the Division II level in college. And the biggest thing that he took away from Joe was how he invested in people. And you just said that your boss invests in you, they trust you, and they want to see you grow. So I feel like if people around you in any aspect can do that, like, you know you're meant to be in that point at that time. So
I'm waiting for that. That is everything. Like, when I tell you, like, one thing I got from the pageant, too, was I was like, it was, like, when you realize, like, nothing's just about you. Like, it takes a village for you to succeed. Like, truly, like, it takes my family. It takes my bosses. It takes... like, my trainer, like, your whole self is, like, built of so many people. So when you surround yourself with so many great people, and that's what kind of being in a job does, like, you're surrounded by like-minded people who also want similar things as you and, like, have the motivation, because not everyone understands the news industry and, like, the industry we're getting into. Like, you understand it. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people outside of there don't get it. But, like, where I am, everybody gets it. So it's, like, cool to be a part of, like, a place where, like, everyone gets it. Like, everyone worked holidays. Everyone was away from their family. Like, everyone went through that. So it kind of, like, if I move next, which I'm sure I'm going to have to, like, I'll be okay. Because, like, I've just gotten so much knowledge from, like, all these people that have done it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens for you. Yes. I'll definitely keep you posted what happens if I hear anything.
Yeah, I know. It's coming up soon.
It's, yeah. It's like, again, that doesn't feel real until you're in it. And I think
I'm sure you've talked to a Neocon about that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I had him and his brother on at the same time, and that was super cool. He said it felt like a regular weekly family FaceTime video chat. So, and it's like, you know, to reconnect with, like, people like that, and someone like Adam too, like, and Kyle Standing, like, all the Rhodey alums that kind of helped me, like, kickstart everything. Zach Austin, like, I didn't know anything about Rhodey at all, like, and I'm from here, so to have those people just be like, hey Cam, this is what you do, get this, like. I'm at, like, 7 or 8 people did that for me. So I can only imagine what it's like when you have, like, a whole work crew that is, like, not only you, but everybody there. And it's like, that's, like, your family. So.
And I grew up with these people. Like, yeah. I grew up watching Tony.
He was in my first grade class when he, like, came and was, like, our guest speaker. Like, first grade.
Yeah. And that makes me, like, little Paige would be freaking out. Mm-hmm. And, like now I'm older and, like, I've been in the industry, so it's, like, normal. But, little, that's why I try to appreciate things more, is, like, little me would be like, oh my gosh, you work with Tony Petracca. Right. Like, that's so cool.
Especially
so
just being from Rhode Island.
Yeah, you just gotta appreciate the little things. Little wins.
Yeah, little wins for sure. Yeah. I guess that kind of wraps up everything. We recapped everything since the last time we talked. Recapped all, like, the big things that are going on, which is awesome, and I love that. I love seeing, like, the brand getting branched out into different segments and doing, like, something different every day. I love that, because I try to do that with, like, reels and, like, different ways to post things, how to create a little quick story, because the attention span is just so low now. So I'm sure you deal with that on a day-to-day basis with how to make a story.
We got to collab.
We have to collab. Yeah, for sure. And, like, that's the biggest thing too now, is collaborations and sharing and all this. Like, it's all about an algorithm. Like, it's draining, but it's cool. Like, to see, like, oh, like, this got however many thousand views, or this is doing good. This is not. How do I grow from that? So, I mean, thank you again for copping on. Is there anything else you wanna cap off on? Well, actually, I ask everybody this $1 million question. I ask everybody at the end of the Camp's Corner. Well, this isn't your first time, but what do you think of Camp's Corner? Second time around.
Send him around. I love the in-person. You guys can't see all this, but it's a whole studio, and there's a lot of memorabilia. And I like the vibe. It makes me feel, like, professional, and it's pretty cool. But I love Cam's Corner. I think that everyone should watch.
And especially this episode.
Especially this episode. And I'm excited to collab at the Johnston Parade, hopefully.
That would be sick.
In the next few weeks.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm proud of you. I think you're doing great. Likewise. My advice to you and everybody is just, like, to be present, be grounded, and trust God, because you will not get through it without it. You just got to be where your feet are and just trust it.
Most definitely. At Cam's One Corner, all social media, at the sports page, Instagram, Twitter's the same thing. We'll have that in the description, of course, and this will be posted. So you guys will be seeing this tomorrow, which will be the day.
Is it that quick?
Yeah. This will be the day after the NBA, or 2 days after the NBA Finals. Friday will be the parade at 11 o'clock, so I don't know if you'll be working, which stinks. I don't have a full-time job yet, so I'll be there.
There you go.
I'll send some content. We'll do something really, really cool. Especially when the Johnson Parade comes. I'm sure you'll be there.
I'll be there. So, I will find a way.
Yes. That's something you have to cover.
Yes.
Being at 12. But
yes.
Again, Paige, thank you so much. Episode 102 of Cam's Corner. Season 2, or season 4. I always get these numbers mixed up. Season 4, episode 2, Cam's One Corner, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find it, YouTube, Instagram, everything. We'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another great episode.
Let's go. On a break.